Going to be in the book of Ephesians, of course, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. Now, I know my brother Bill and some others were happy with the title of last week's sermon because they had spoken to me about this topic before. And of course, as we can, this is a topic that had been discussed a few other times in other places. Brother Bill had shared it with me on Wednesday mornings. But then we came to the passage in Ephesians about letting the old man go. And what was the old man? The old man was the part of us that was synonymous with sin, with dying, with death. Our old way of thinking, our old way of feeling, our old way of acting, our old way of ministry, our old way of worship. All of the things that Jesus died to set the people free from was the old man. Sometimes, though, we let the old man sneak in, don't we? We allow ourselves to get embittered by this or angry about that. We allow ourselves to think about things, watch things, or dwell on things that we ought not to think about. And whatever you can think of, like any capacity of sin, temptation, or anything else, that also is part of the old man. And the scripture says, don't let the old man in. But now we come to Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. And let me read these to you. Therefore, ridding yourselves of falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, because we are parts of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor, producing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this, what we're talking about right now is not just how not to let the old man in, but how to slam the door in the old man's face. Don't take that too literally. That was a very spiritual context I was saying there. But brothers and sisters, we have an adversary. And the biggest adversary that we have, besides, of course, Satan, our eternal enemy, the biggest adversary we have is ourselves. As the old saying goes, we are all too often our own worst enemies. And all God's children said, we can be those people. But when Christ makes us new, he calls us not just to believe differently, but to live differently, to think differently, to feel differently, to have different passions, to say goodbye to the old man and to shut the door on what lies behind us, never to look back at it again, but then to behold and to take hold of something new and beautiful and real that only comes by being washed in the blood of Jesus. Something that is separate from the old man lives that we used to lead, and behold, something new. As the scripture says, if any of you be in Christ, ye are a new creation person. Amen. In Christ, we are made new. And we've been called as this new creation to live differently. In Ephesians chapter 4, as we were just reading, Paul points a clear picture of what that looks like. He calls us to shut the door on the old man, our former way of life, so we can walk in the newness of who we are in Christ Jesus. Today, we're going to look at some of those essential steps, brothers and sisters. Point number one, we have to replace old practices with godly habits. As I've shared with you before, you and I, our minds and our patterns of thinking, and those of you who know me, you know that I've shared many times that the most, you can call it my favorite, but I don't like calling a passage of the Bible my favorite because I don't want to take away from any other passage that God has yet to impact me with as powerfully as I need to be. But Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove that which the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I became a Christian in first grade. And I understand something. My soul is saved. And it is in the hands of the Father. Jesus said, of all that the Father has entrusted to me, I have placed them back into the hand of the Father. And no one is strong enough to pluck you from the Father's hands. Amen. Book of John, okay? Love that passage. I am in God the Father's hand, and no one is strong enough to pry his fingers open and get me out of there, not even me. That is why I believe in once saved, always saved. I was saved in the first grade, 1976, Huntwood Baptist Church in Hayward, California, Pastor Skillion. Okay? I know it. But since that day, there have been many times when the Lord has impressed upon me, that the patterns of my thinking need to be changed. That I need to think in accordance with his kingdom and his person. I've pretty much even felt him say to me, you're saved, but you're kind of a dummy. So fix it. Go the way that I would have you go. Think the way that I would have you think. Stop thinking like you're part of the world. You haven't been the world's since 1976. You're mine. Start thinking as if you are my child. And I got to tell you something. He still speaks like this. Well, speaks like this to me today. He still moves in my life like this today, saying, Bob, that's not really in accordance with my kingdom, the way you're thinking or the way you're feeling or what you want to see happen. I want you to think how I want you to think, how I would have you think. Not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus have Bob do? Okay? God wants me to be faithful with what he wants of me. But we have to replace these old practices with godly habits. And Paul begins with a call to honesty. And brothers and sisters, this is something I got to say to you. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. We have problems, amen? We got problems. But as I've said on many an occasion, and I will continue to say it, you might have problems, but your problems ought not to have you. Your problems ought not to have any degree of ownership over you. Other people's problems ought not to have any degree of ownership over you. The life you now live is lived in Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself up for us. Amen? Galatians 2:20. The life that we now live, we live it in Christ. We live for his glory and his purposes. So, when we talk about we might have problems, but they don't have us. We might have problems, but we have Christ and Christ has us, so there is hope in all of our challenges. But now comes that moment that you who want to trust in the Lord your God, you have need a call to honesty with thine own self. And in regards to honesty, ridding yourselves of falsehood. We are kings of excuses, and we have one for every selfish thing we do. Well, that looked like some hot coals went out there. I'm sorry. But it's true. We have to rid ourselves of falsehood. And we have to be able to say to ourselves, I can't have that. Because God said no. And not only can I not have that because God said no, because he said no, I ought not want to have it. Linda, did I use my double negative properly there? I'm not quite sure. But I ought not want to have it. Because he said no. Not just, okay, I won't. But thy will be done, O Lord my God. Lead me in your everlasting way. Lead me to thy greener pastures. So ridding ourselves of falsehood, speak truth, lies, anger left unresolved, stealing, corrupt speech. These were once the behaviors of the old man. But now as new creations in Christ, these practices ought no longer to define us. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. Instead, Paul tells us to speak truth, to work with integrity, and to use our words to build up others. Why? Because we are parts of one another. Now, I know that none of you have ever done this. But maybe you've known someone who has. Somewhere, sometime, somewhen. When people start talking bad about other people. You know, people that aren't there. Boy, it can be so easy to join in, isn't it? It can be so easy to just be like, oh, I know, and another thing, oh, and another thing, and another thing. Pretty soon, man, your jaw is moving more than you ever thought possible. And you just got this stream of horrible things coming out of your mouth, just pointing out every personal trait or personal inadequacy of this other person. And it's like they've got, no matter where they are, they're probably sitting there like going, hey, what's going on? I feel this like this darkness descending on me. I don't even know what's up. But we come to these points, though, where all too often these words, the gift of language that God has given us to speak of what he has done inside of us, to well up like a wellspring of life and joy out of our mouths, to encourage one another and to lift each other up, instead, all too often runs some kind of toxic sludge. And it can't be. Let love flow out of you. The love of God. Remember what the scripture says? We know what love is because he first loved us. If you have an idea of what love is, that is a gift from God. And every single poet, songwriter, person that has ever walked on the face of this earth, they all know love is the greatest attribute that human beings have. Amen? So why spend time at all on the complete opposite end of the spectrum? Brothers and sisters, I would really encourage you to covenant with me. I mean, it's a covenant that probably even I will fail at one point or another, but I mean, we ought to seriously think, like, what does God want from us as a church? Who does he want us to be? And when we think about who he wants us to be, we ought to be saying to ourselves, then Lord, I'm going to be that person. No excuses, no compromise. I want to be that person, dear God. Then one of the things that God has said is, let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth, but only that which edifies, only that which builds up. Wouldn't it be a great thing if people, you know, churches always covenant together, do all kinds of things. I'm going to give this much to the building program. I'm going to do this. I'm going to invest myself in worthwhile practices. But if we truly said, covenant together to speak no slander, no gossip, to let no unholy word come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edifying people, the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ, only these words will come out my mouth. Sometimes I wonder how many Christians around the world would be like, ooh, that's a toughie. Because, well, when me and my sisters get together, we're not gossiping. The second you say, we're not gossiping, you just told everybody you're gossiping. You know what I mean? So no offense to anybody. And certainly not calling anybody in this group. We have us a pretty awesome church. But as always, I think the Lord knows there's room for improvement in all things. But again, Paul tells us to speak truth, work with integrity, and use words to build up others. Why? Because we are part of one another. Every ungodly habit must be replaced with something better, something holy. If we lie, we have replaced the truth with falsehood. So rather, let's replace the lie with the truth. Let's replace the hate with the love, the animosity with the peace. Let's become a people that say and do wonderful things. Now, I'm not going to mention this person's name, but I had a wonderful honor of speaking with somebody who has left the world this last week. She went to be with her Heavenly Father. And in the course of our conversation, it was shared with me. I used to go to this church, and I used to go to this church, and I used to go to this church. And in my time of need, I reached out to all of them, and none of them came and visited me. Isn't that ouch? Amen? And we're far, far away from this, so forgive me this very personal. As I talk to you about a stranger, allow me just this personal moment here while I address this church family. If I was to, and I'm just going to randomly pick, not a judgment call or nothing else, but if my sister Linda was in the hospital and said, I need a visit, I'm going to drop whatever I am doing and I'm going to go and visit her. Amen? Or my brother Bill, or these two whom I don't really know. It doesn't matter who they are. If somebody says, church family, I need this, then we're going to be there, amen? Otherwise, all of the good stuff that we had been saying before is falsehood. And the truth of the matter is that the love is not in us, as we would not go. There is a reality that God's people can't just be a people of great sentiment or great words or great activity. They need to be all of it. They need to be a people whose heart matches their speech and whose conduct and activity matches their speech and their heart. We need to be in love with one another. As God loves us, so too we ought to love one another. Protect, point number two, protect unity through kindness and forgiveness. Sadly, this last week I also had the blessing of talking with a friend who has a very hard time with forgiveness. Maybe someone in here understands that. That sometimes it's very hard to let go of hurts that have been placed upon you. And I suppose that to an extent, we all know what that one feels like. But brothers and sisters, we must consider Christ. Amen. Who, having done nothing wrong, who having committed no sin, went to the cross on our behalf. Sometimes in this life, loved ones say things, strangers do things, longtime enemies do things and say things, and they can find weak spots in our armor, and it can creep in, and it can hurt us, and hurt us badly. But there is a thing here that goes on. Sometimes we'll see people say, I'm not forgiving them. You don't know what they did. Forgiveness. They don't deserve the blessing of forgiveness. One of the things that we don't understand is that forgiving others is also good for us. It's not just about that. The desire to say, no, you can't have this forgiveness, meaning I'm going to hold on to the pain, I'm going to hold on to the hurt, the animosity, the anger, the everything, I'm going to hold on to it, ha ha, as if I just did myself good. You get it? Instead of being baptized in the blood and in the love of Jesus Christ, instead I'm soaking in a pool of angst and anger and stress. If I may take us back again to the late 70s of TV, y'all might remember a certain commercial with a lady named Madge, I believe it was. She had a little cup that she kept and people would soak their fingers in it. Remember that? And they'd be talking, palm olive, that's right. And they'd be talking about soap and palm olive and they'd be like, oh, I got to get me some of that. And she's like, oh, you're soaking in it. Ah! No, really, it's okay. And they'd put her hands back in. Brothers and sisters, you forgiving one another is a lot like soaking, well, not in palm olive, but in the presence of Christ. You might be saying to yourself there for a moment, ah, I can't forgive. And I certainly can't forget. Sometimes I feel the Lord takes our hand and goes, come back over here for a moment. Come over here and soak in my forgiveness for a moment. Come over here and soak in my peace for a moment and let it wash over you. Because it's good for you. You might not know it, but it's good for you. And in this day, there are so many people that we need to forgive. Sometimes we need to forgive our parents. Sometimes we need to forgive our kids. Sometimes we need to forgive our spouses. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes, in our lack of understanding, we may need to forgive God. Sometimes we don't like the plan that we are playing in this thing called life in the world. We wish we had the better plan, somebody else's plan. There are so many things in this world that can rub us wrong, and we just hold on to it. Ex-spouses, current spouses, ex-boyfriends and girlfriends. There are all kinds of people in this world, and some of them might not even be here anymore. But learning to forgive as Jesus forgave is something that's going to be a medicine unto thy own soul. Unity in the body of Christ depends on how we treat one another. As I mentioned, my friend that I was speaking to this week that's no longer with us. It was a real joy that as I met with a friend of hers, this friend said, oh, by the way, she said she wants you to do her funeral. We made quite a bond in the last week. Brothers and sisters, what a joy. What a joy it is to have touched somebody so much in just a week's period that they're like, I want him. I want him to do my funeral. Beautiful. And so it's probably going to happen. Probably going to happen right here. Why? Because this is the church I have access to. Amen? And we're going to see some ministry happen. But brothers and sisters, let me switch gears for one moment. You all know that I love my life. My wife. I love my God. I love my church family. And you know there's something else I love. What is it? Not my dogs especially, but yes, my dogs. And you all know that after the loss of my one boy 3 years ago, I was just an emotional wreck. My wife got me a new puppy for Christmas. Wasn't born yet, but somehow he sent me a card. You know, even though he wasn't born, I got to read him Christmas morning, choked me all up and stuff. Well, we got him now, and he's just turning a little over 5 months now, weighed in at 45 pounds the other day. And probably, I don't know, I'm thinking 75, 80 pounds is what he's going to get to. But there's this funny thing. You know, we got a couple, three chickens in the backyard. Yeah, we're totally hillbilly there in Santa Maria. You know, we got chickens. We got too many dogs for too small a yard. But we have the three other dogs. And they go walking out, and the chickens, you know, if you've ever had a chicken, they're like, bah! You know, when the big dogs walk by, and they're like moving around and stuff. And those dogs just walk through. Well, when the puppy first saw them, the puppy was like, and the chickens knew. And the chickens just started harassing that puppy. And so for the longest time, the puppy would go outside and he'd like run circles around him real fast. Or he's going, the chickens would, you know, and chase after him and stuff. And oh, it was freaking him out for sure. But something happened just a couple days ago. A great cosmic shift took place. The little man went outside. And he kind of bumbled over something or whatever and made a tripping motion towards the chicken. And the chicken took off. And you could see something clicked in his head. And he was like, ho, 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 something has changed. Oh, for the next half hour, that little man was chasing those chickens back and forth. And he gets this look on his face. We call it the kibble goblin look. His ears cock back, his eyes come out, and he gets the biggest smile in the world on his face. He just comes in the house, and he's like, that's so awesome. That is so awesome. And I share this to say, why am I saying this? Well, much like the old commercial for Men's Warehouse goes, what a difference a day can make. What a difference one day made where this dog switched from fear to strength. When this dog switched from being chased to doing the chasing, and not only chasing like two peers, but walking in like, oh, this is the best morning I've ever had in my 5 long months on this planet. Brothers and sisters, what a difference a moment can make when you choose to live it for God. And the challenge that I want to say to you all right now, well, shutting the door on the old man, it includes personal holiness, but it's not just about personal holiness. It also is about protecting the unity and the witness of Christ's body, the church. Shutting the door on the old man means not to leave a crack open for anger, deceit, or bitterness, to replace the old with godly habits, and to protect unity through kindness and forgiveness. It's an opportunity to let the new man take root in your life and rise to the top because Christ has made you new. What a difference one moment can make in your life where you go from the beaten to the winning team, where you go from being the subdued to being the victor, from being the one that runs from the chickens to realizing you were made to chase the chickens. Brothers and sisters, the challenge that goes out right now is what a difference one moment can make. What is the one challenge in your life right now that you could stand up to and like that, choose to be different, choose to respond to it different, choose not to be beaten down by it, trodden upon by it? What is the one moment in which you could have the victory right now, the God-given victory that you know in your heart God is saying to you, live this for me and watch what I do. Watch me move you from the defeated to the victory. Will you join me in prayer? Our most beautiful Lord and Heavenly Father, as I look out across this room, I see we're missing a few faces, and some of them, I'm sure, are in the kitchen or at the barbecue, and some are traveling. As I look across this room, I see a lot of faces now that I've known for a lot of years who are very loved And I see some new faces that whether they know it or not, they are loved. Because this pastor and this church, dearest Lord, we want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to think like you think, feel like you feel, and do as you would have us do. Father God, we ask you to help us to slam the door shut on the old man. And we pray that you would help us to love with your love. Live as you would have us live. We pray, Lord God, that you would give us the strength to speak only words of love and life. We pray, dear God, that there would be no room in our hearts and in our minds for animosity or anger or hatred. We pray, dear God, from the deepest center of our beings that you would help us to covenant together to never say another wrong word, to never lift up hate speech, especially against a brother or a sister, as well as anyone else who is created in your image, dear God. But Father, let your river of life and love flow from the deepest center of our beings, out of our mouths and out of our faces and out of our very countenance. And may we be living giants of your love walking this land. Father God, turn us from the defeated into those who have the victory. And dearest Heavenly Lord, if there is a decision to be made here today, we pray that you will give us the strength to make it. If it needs to be made public, let it be made public. If it can be made just by us responding to your still small voice, then let us respond to your still small voice. But dear God, don't let even one of us leave here today without being right with you. We love you, O Lord our God. In your Son's most beautiful name we do pray. Amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?